your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. And just thinking about Revelation 16, about all the stuff that's coming on this, what the Bible says in the tribulation. This is the fourth time, Revelation 15, you go through the tribulation period four times. And at the end of this thing, you'll see where it talks about the all this stuff that's going to come on this earth. And you know, the world's talking about how everything's going to get better and all the things going to be good, which in my lifetime, I hope it is. But I also think about my children and grandchildren. But I want to make sure they're saved. I want to live a type of testimony in front of them that's going to want them to follow in my footsteps and follow the Lord with all their heart. So you got this thing in Revelation 16. It says, in verse 1, it says, I heard a great voice out of that temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Talking about the mark of the beast right now, they've got everything ready. They got everything right now. They got a chip they can put in a man in his hand or in his forehead. They've already agreed to that and figure out how they can do it. And they've already tried. I hear they're trying it in California right now in one city where there's cashless society. And it's already being implemented in animals and all that stuff, all this, the mark or the chips that they can put in man. But then it says in verse 3, back up to verse 2, it says, sore upon the men which had the mark. So wherever that mark is, it's going to be like a leprosy coming out of the man, or it's going to come out, it's going to be on the hand or on the forehead. And you go back to Revelation 13, real quick, and you find this beast coming up out of the sea. He's a leopard. And then in Leviticus 13, you find the law about leopards in the Bible. And leprosy is a disease and a plague that's never found, nobody's ever found a cure for it. And people think, oh, that's been done away with. No, there's people in China that's got leprosy. There's people around the world that's in other countries got leprosy. And we had a missionary that we knew that went to Bible school with. He went to the leopard colonies of Thailand. He went to Thailand, and he went into the leopard colonies with them. And far as I know, he's never gotten leprosy. He went and ate with them, and they would stick their hands in the food. He'd stick his hands in the food. Yeah, brother, I tell you what, you better be called of God and better have God's calling on you before you do something like that. And that's what he did. He never got leprosy, and he won them to the Lord. Been winning leopards to the Lord. And the Lord put that on his heart when he was a young man to go do that. You better be called. Like I said, a lot of people like to get into ministry. They want to get into ministry that they feel like they can, you know, benefit from. But if God calls you to do something, you better off doing it. If God didn't call you to do it, you better not do it. I'm telling you that right now. You'll make a mess out of things. And look at Revelation 16. It's just like going to Tanzania. How long you been in Tanzania, bro? How long?
Since
95. This other missionary out here right now is on deputation. He's going to the state or the country of Georgia. He's over at Brother Steve Hayes' church today. But he's going to the country. Just when you graduate, a lot of the guys, when I was graduating from Bible school, a lot of guys, when they got out, they wanted to be able to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just said, I'm just going to serve God. I don't know which way. I don't know what. A lot of guys knew what they were going to do. But those guys, they seemed like the old proverb is that guy went out, set the world on fire, and had to come back and get matches because he run out. But you got to be flexible. Michael Shane came to me before George passed away. Michael Shane, I got the letter in here. He wrote me a two-page letter. He was showing me, it was his resume. And Michael Shane, I would recommend Michael Shane. And Michael Shane grew up in this church. I love that boy. And Michael Shane right now is helping with the youth. But Michael Shane came to me and said, Preacher, I feel like the Lord's called me in evangelism. And I said, Michael Shane, that's good. I said, but you know this, I said, most preachers will not take a guy in and has been called in evangelism unless he's worked in a church, unless he's proved himself in a church somewhere. And I said, you got to be faithful where you're at and be faithful doing what you do. I said, and God's going to use you. Doc used to tell us this. He said, God never uses a lazy man, and you better be faithful where you're at and working what you're doing, and then God will call you out. And that's what he's saying. He said, you just be faithful in the church. He said, you'd be so busy. And then all of a sudden, the Lord tapped you on the shoulder and said, I got something else for you to do. And so Michael Shane came to me, wrote, you know, showed me this letter. And he said, what do you think? I said, that's good. I said, but you'd be faithful. He said, what should I do until I go out? I told Mike Payton the same thing. Michael Payton went out, and then he married a girl in Tennessee and went down to his wedding. And he went into evangelism. Now he's a pastor in Mississippi. And I told Michael Shane, just be available. Be available. Doc used to say, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the best ability is availability. Be available. And don't have one thing, say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. You must be doing, witnessing to everybody, trying to win people to Jesus Christ. If God's called you to preach, you preach. But where, when, how, that's up to him. So Michael Shane, I said, just be available to step in to do whatever needs to be done. And he said, okay, preacher, that's what I'll do. And George passed away. And he came to me and he said, now I understand what you're saying. I understand. I'm available, preacher. And I said, amen. Now he's going to marry this girl. I'm ahead. I'm kind of ahead of the thing. I'm getting ahead.
Maybe.
Well, he's going there in August. I know it's going to be. I know it. It's going to, she's going to. Her pastor is a friend of mine, and he's called me. He's called me twice. He's trying to find dirt on Michael Shane. And I told him, I said, you can't find no dirt on him. Man, he's a good boy. And his daughter is in the ministry with him down there helping. So I kind of feel like that's what the Lord's got for him. But anyway, Lord has to show him. But let me get back to the Bible. Revelation 16. You know what? Just don't get in a hurry. That's all I'm saying. Don't get in a hurry.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rush it. When my daughter Rachel, when Becky got engaged, Ruthie got engaged, and my son-in-law, I ran him out of my house 3 times. I even walked in the house. I mean, he used to go with me everywhere I went to preach. He'd go with me. He said, can I drive? I said, yeah, you can go with me. But you know, no, I didn't let him drive. That's right, I didn't do that. Anyway, he said, can I go with you? I said, sure. And he'd go with me to camp meetings. I'd go preach to different places. He'd go with me. And then when he started liking my daughter, I didn't like him. I didn't like him. And I ran him off, ran him out of my house. And when Clinton proposed to Becky, he asked me if he could 2 weeks before. And that was another thing. And Mike Meester told Clinton that, you know, the preacher's going to shoot you. He's going to shoot you. And I did. I shot him. And I unloaded blanks on him. And he already knew that it wasn't the effect that I wanted. It didn't work. But and then when Ben came in, got, you know, Rachel, I promised Rachel that her husband would walk through those doors, and he did. He walked through those doors. He got saved, and thank God. But we had just about ran Rachel down the aisle because she had bills coming out of the yin-yang, man. And we handed them to Ben when he got married. He's still trying to pay them bills. But Josh, we're about done. He's out. I mean, we want to see him get married and get on in life. We want more grandkids. That's what we want. We want.
I'm the peacemaker of the house.
Yeah. Revelation 16. Let's get back to the Bible. Will you stop interrupting me? So Revelation 16:3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And you'll see all this stuff that's happened with Moses. We went through this last week. All the stuff Moses did to Egypt is what God's getting ready to do again. And you know what? When the Lord gets fired up about doing something, man, oh, man, you read through your Bible. You read about what God did in fire. And, I mean, all the plagues. You read about all those things that God did. And when he brought his wrath out. He even told Moses, get out of the way. He said, my wrath is waxing hot. Get out of the way. Moses stood in the gap and said, God, don't do it. That's a pretty brave man standing up there and said, Lord, and you get it connected. And you get a prayer, be able to get some prayers answered. But when it comes to this here, Revelation, I mean, we're going through the tribulation, and God's pouring out his wrath. And I don't want nobody to go through it. I don't want nobody. I want to see people say. I'm not one of them guys go up there and say, yeah, God, kill them all. No. I want to see them say. And the Lord knows whether your motives, he knows your motives. When God says he's not willing that any should perish for that, but when it comes down to a point, you know what it shows me? God deals with man, deals with man, deals with man, long-suffering, slow to anger, deals with man, deals with man. Finally, he says, okay, that's it. It says, the third angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became his blood as of a dead man. Every living soul died in the sea. When a lot of people say, does animals have souls? According to the Bible, they do. They don't have eternal souls like you and I. When the Bible says in Genesis, God, he breathed in life in every living soul. That's even everything. Everything's got three parts, body, soul, spirit. But man is the one that lives forever. I had a lady get upset one time. She said, is there animals? The animals go to heaven? All dogs go to heaven, don't they? Well, the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes, the spirit of man goes upward and the dog and the animals go down and they just cease to exist. Is there animals in heaven? Yeah, there's animals in heaven. White horses we're going to be riding. Them horses up there, they're going to be, they're animals there. Now, what kind of animals? In the millennium, the Bible says the serpent's going to lay down and lions and everything, lambs go together. I mean, it's going to be something to see. I believe that the animal's going to talk. I believe they're going to talk. In Genesis, the serpent spoke to Eve. I believe in the millennial reign, can you imagine animals talking? I've had nightmares of my dog testifying against me at the judgment seat of Christ. But back at verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains and waters, they became blood. Sound like Moses, doesn't it? And I heard an angel of the water, notice that, angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, what was, and shall be, because thou hast judged us. And I said this last week, the angel's telling the Lord, said, what you're doing, God, is right. You're righteous. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Yeah, he will. He'll do right in every situation. He'll do right in your situation. Just like Elizabeth up there in Canada. You say she's got a brain tumor. She's got three children. When I was up at Youth Ablaze, the guys come to me and said, gave me the guy's name. He's a pastor in New York. Said his wife just died. They had two kids. He's been pastoring 2 years. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? I don't understand a lot of things. You don't understand them. The key to the thing is not to get bitter at God and say, Lord, I know I'm going to trust you. I know where they're at. They're in heaven. They're with the Lord. They're walking the streets of gold, man. And you call them up right now and say, come on back. No, they ain't coming back. They won't come back. Their race is done. It's over. They don't have to go through this mess anymore. We're praying right now, Lord, come back. Lord, come on back. Lord, come on back. They ain't got to pray that. They're there. They already seen him. And people get bitter at God. Somebody was telling me the other day, you know why so-and-so don't serve God no more? He's bitter at God. You hear about a lot of people bitter at God. I said, that's stupid. That's stupid to be bitter at God. Why would you be bitter at God? You know, the Bible says Job, even all the stuff that he went through, he didn't get bitter. He trusted God. He got bitter over the, not bitter, I hate to say that word, but he said, well, you know, God says, are you going to accuse me of doing wrong? And Job said he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And look at verse 4. An angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, which was, shall be, because thou hast judged thus. And they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And the Bible says in Revelation or Hebrews chapter 11, you read the Hebrews chapter 11 about the heroes of the of faith. It says, so look what it says. Look in Hebrews. Look what it says about them, that all these people that were slain and killed and everything for the name of Christ. And people think, well, that happened years ago. No, that's still happening today. Right. It's still happening. People are being persecuted, tortured for the name of Christ. Even because we are here in America, we don't hear about it. That don't mean it ain't happening. Right. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 37. It says, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they and were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. See, we're here in America. We've got it made.
Right.
And we're the ones that complain the most. We're the like the little kid that you see in the store throwing a fit because he can't get his way. That's the way Americans are. That's the way we are. We throw a fit because we don't get our way. We haven't really seen persecution. We really haven't seen anything bad have really happened to us. And we get upset. I think the Lord gets upset with us. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They said they didn't receive the promise. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Man, what a thing. Go back to Revelation 16, and we're going to have to stop here. I think it's about how far we got last week. And it says in verse 7, I heard another out of the altar saying, even so, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And all men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. And it says, and which have power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now, we talked about that. The seat of the beast, where is that? And his kingdom was full of darkness, just like Pharaoh. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And it says, blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And, you know, a guy called me yesterday and said, you know, I've been talking to these people. He just got right with God, been back in church now. He said, man, I thank God I got back. I thank God I'm in church, man. He started crying on the phone. And he said, I know you're busy. I was sitting on the back of getting ready to do something, and I'm working on something, and I stopped. I hear my phone ring. He's on the phone just testifying to me and crying. And he said, preacher, I've been witnessing these people, man. And he said, I don't understand it. I just don't understand. He said, I know I've been backslid. I know I got out. But I don't understand why a person won't get right and get saved. He said, man, I guess it's just pride. And they won't repent. And he said, I've been telling them they need to repent. They need to get right. And I said, well, look how long it took you. And I said, what you do is you pray for them, and if you really care about them, you really love them, you'll start, you know, praying more for them. And I said, God put them men and those women in your path, so you're responsible for them. You're responsible to pray for them because you're the closest to them. And he said, man, I'm going to have them in church this week, Lord willing. I said, well, Lord willing, have them in church. I said, good. We'll preach and pray for them. But man, you think about all the things that's happening. Here we are going through the tribulation for the fourth time. And then you got the Battle of Armageddon coming up. And the Bible goes through that thing about the Battle of Armageddon, and you go through that thing where, look at chapter 14. Look at this. Look at 14:14. You go through this thing, and all this judgment and things are happening. And all the world right now, they're making movies about the end times. They're making movies about this and about the, you know, the living dead and something drastic. And people are crazy about this movie, Living Dead. They're crazy about it. People watch that thing religiously. And they're crazy about it. They don't want to miss the Living Dead. And it's about some kind of virus or something that goes out. And then I was listening to a guy talking about all the mosquitoes. He said the most deadliest animal that this world's ever seen was a mosquito. Because the mosquito is what brings more viruses. And they're saying there's going to be viruses that the world's going to have to deal with. Man, the world's preparing for some tragic catastrophe to come upon this planet. And here the Bible says this is what's going to happen. But they won't say God's doing it. They won't repent. They're talking about Mother Nature. They're saying Mother Nature. Mother Nature is going to have enough, and that's all there is to it. Now, but look at verse 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud sat like on the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sitteth on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire. And here we have an angel over water, and another angel over fire. and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine to the earth and cast it into a great winepress of what? The wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even onto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 19, go to Revelation 19. Here we are again. I saw heaven open, verse 11. When I read this, you know what I tell people, Revelation is not hard to understand, it's just hard to believe. It's hard to believe, and people don't believe it. Bible-believing Christians don't believe it. They, you know, the Catholic Church says, oh, this is figurative. This is talking about the past. This is not coming. The Pope is the false prophet, and it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteous he doeth judge and make war. His eyes as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important in the Christian's life. Capital W, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he tread out the winepress of the furiousness and the wrath of Almighty God. So the winepress is going to get pressed out by Jesus Christ himself. He's going to do like the Bible says in Joel. He's going to stomp out the winepress. And that's going to be 200 million troops. Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, all coming from the Middle East, coming against Jerusalem. And he's going to stomp them out. And like I said, if 10% of the church, or 10% of the universe, or not the universe, of the world, gets raptured out, that leaves about 6 point some billion people upon this planet. If 10% are saved on this planet, so that's 700-800 million people leave this planet at one time. Then the rest, 6 billion people think, oh, that's not going to, nobody's going to be left. Oh, yes, it is. It's going to be a lot of people left. And then, man, 200 million men come up against Jerusalem. Look at Revelation chapter 9. Revelation 9. You talk about the biggest army ever assembled. Who are they going against? Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Revelation 9, 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. So you got 200 million men coming against Jerusalem to wipe out one people, the Jews. Come to wipe them out. Find them. Hunt them down like dogs. And kill them. So the Lord's going to come back, and he's going to come down. Wow. We'll stop right there.